appreciate your time this afternoon, late in the afternoon, in the Hilton. Some of us came over from the convention center. I first got started in ethics, mostly distributive justice for refugee and post-disaster victims of tsunami, conflict, and war. And currently, under my dissertation, have branched out into different ethical concerns concerning research using electronic medical records, GIS, and digitalization technology. By a show of hands, how many researchers do we have here? Okay, how many clinicians? Okay, a couple. Administrators or policymakers? Okay, so this is important for all of you because it affects your policy and the way IRBs are conducted, as well as some of the way data is displayed and research is done. Okay, doesn't want to go? Okay, there we go. First, I have to acknowledge my mentoring team at the University of Pennsylvania and the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, as well as funding from the University of Pennsylvania. I also received a road safety scholarship from the Injury and Emergency Health section of APHA. I have no disclosures to make, however, I will be discussing different products, methods that I use different products, and this is not a professional or official endorsement of these products. It's just what I'm doing. My dissertation research involves urban adolescent motor vehicle crash injury and spatial health disparities. I use GIS and Google Earth technology to zoom in on crash sites. And I'm looking at what are the environmental risk and protective factors for adolescent MVC, as well as variability surrounding the mechanism and severity, and what spatial disparities exist, as well as how we can explore using an environmental scan with Google Earth. Some of the issues came up when we're using not only electronic medical records, but also Philadelphia EMS records, in which I'm getting crash site, and I'm map-pulling that location point data up into using an ArcGIS software to make a map. We're making maps. Other characteristics involve census block characteristics, which are uploaded from an open database available to all, and then environmental factors at the crash site where we're zooming in using Google Earth, and I'm going to be showing you that. The issue here is de-identified data from EMRs, which is rich in clinical data and detail and is wonderful for research purposes and to help prevention and clinical, but we also have to really take extreme caution when protecting PHI. And for those of you that don't know, PHI relates to past, present, and future physical or mental health conditions. It's created or received by the healthcare provider, the plan, the hospital, etc. And it somehow identifies the individual. And this could be through zip code, it could be through address, insurance. And there's several ways that you can actually do harm to a patient. So with evolving technologies such as GIS, map making, and digital visualization, so the one example I'm using is Google Earth, it enables scientists to understand how geography and health fit together. And it has many, many benefits. But it can become complex, the way we display data, the way we collect data, how we use it. And with Google Earth, we have details down to the very street level. Also, we use spatial statistics, so we're not even using regular statistics. And these issues can exist regarding the privacy of the data, the EMR links to residential identification, and geolocational risk. So there is a GIS science code of ethics which is available. And in this we have obligations to society, employers and donors, colleagues in the profession, as well as the individuals that are the patients and other individuals in society. But those are simply guidelines, and they're not really enforced per se. In terms of safeguarding geographical ethics, there's multiple methods that have been implemented for GIS. But what we're finding is that there are still data needs additional safeguards. also digital visualization technology, or Google Earth, it's not really fully addressed the ethical protection of individuals and communities in health research. The communities and the individuals can be placed at security risk. So one example, there's crime modeling, a procedure where it's called risk terrain modeling out of Rutgers. It's an amazing procedure that helps police identify the hot spots of crime. But in some of these techniques, they take former convicts' addresses and upload them into layers. Maps are layers of risk, and look at the assault location. So right there, we've created a connection between convicts and victims of assault. Not good. Visualization of images can also be problematic when it does not involve a voice from the community. So I'm going into any of these locations with Google Earth, and I'm not really giving them voice, I'm not asking their permission. Additionally, Google Earth is starting to be used in developing countries to help with their, for example, I'm an injury person, so to identify hot spots or areas of high motor vehicle crash injury or other types of injury. It's also being used in Canada. There's multiple countries that are using it. But a lot of these communities have never asked permission to be researched, and yet we're zooming in. And we're doing it to do no harm. We want to do prevention and actually prevent injury and help the communities. But there are certain ethical issues here at hand that we need to talk about more. So just some of these, and I won't get into them in great detail. Does anyone in here map? Okay, great. Oh, a couple of you, great. So we can use proxy addresses. So for example, if I'm not using an EMS site, I can take the residential address and use a proxy address for that. So for in terms of motor vehicle crash, I can go to the street corner or intersection. I can also do certain procedures in the software to smooth it so you don't actually see the point location. I can do density mapping or hotspots of areas, geomasking in which there's a donut geomasking where you're actually, it's a procedure in where you're putting the location by a certain radius and distance. You can do aggregation of data and assign a patient in a centroid, since we're talking about place. There's certain geographical subtraction methods and regression models that you can use. And there's an exciting procedure using raster algebra, which I never thought I'd get excited about algebra again, but here I am. And you can actually redefine things and de-identify. So it's very complex. There's things that can happen, but we're still not quite there yet with ethical concerns. Using mashup technology, there's geoproxy attacks. So GIS can actually, through certain technology, can trace patients back by their location to pharmacy locations, healthcare providers, or hospitals. And once again, we have social justice controversies because certain governments don't have IRB boards. They don't have ethical procedures in place yet in developing countries. And I can say that having worked in, you know, Africa and Asia and many different developing countries, these are newer concepts that are developing. And then participatory mapping concerns also prevail for vulnerable populations for their data use, display. And there's a great forum on participatory geographical information systems. And these are some of the questions they ask. So when you're using the community, you have your electronic medical records and you pinpoint a community that's in need. Instead of working backwards and saying, this is the problem, let's go in, and we're going to work with these people to map, we should be looking at the other way. Who defines the problem? Who benefits from this research? Who participates in the research when you're doing community mapping? And who is it inclusive of all populations, including diversity? Google Earth, for the digital visualization, I'm going to show you some examples here in a second. It provides robust data. It's a financially sound alternative to actually sending researchers out into certain neighborhoods that might be dangerous. And if you want to look at different time periods, you know, in the middle of the night, you can explore new variables as well as quality that aren't available online. But there's different bias, credibility problems, and human perception is very subjective. So in the instrument I'm using for an environmental scan, we do multiple audits and inter-rater reliability to make sure everyone sees the same thing. So here's some examples, because I only have 10 minutes or something. So here we're zooming in on a site location, but am I safeguarding children's protection when I'm actually looking at a school site? From a prevention point, we know that children are vulnerable for pedestrian crash. But what if this patient had a health event? Maybe it was a crash, an assault, a rape, whatever it is, and it's near a school. That child could be very easily identified if there's only one or two incidents, say, in a certain time period. So they would automatically know if you're displaying this data, whether through publications or doing community meetings or legislative meetings. Then we have the protection identity issue. So in Google Earth, they say that they've blurred faces and license plates, but that's not always the case. So here's a perfect example. It was a crash. We're finding many crashes are occurring near vacant lots, and when I zoom in to do an environmental scan, I see these three guys hanging out. I can see all their faces, so I blocked their faces here. But these are members of the community. I'm violating their rights, per se. And with the historical imagery of Google Earth, you can actually go back in time to your study period and look at things around that time. And definitely the faces are not blurred at that point. So you can see people doing all types of things in cars. I've seen some interesting things while doing this. You can report those issues to Google so that they can remove that particular image. So they have, but it would be the individual researcher's responsibility to take that action to report to Google. Secondly, some geographic locations are easily recognizable. So here we have a green lot and certain retail areas. And if a patient had a crash or an event, a health event at a certain recognizable area, their identity might be inadvertently revealed if it was an isolated incident. So the recommendations, for EMR safeguards is to increase the Institutional Review Board awareness of ethical considerations of geographical methods of research. What I've been finding is, although universities, they may have demographers and geographers that do this all the time, on the hospital side, they see GIS, and if you say you've de-identified the data, and just say you're geocoding and it's not the exact address, they accept that. And after speaking to some of my geographer friends also, there needs to be a little bit more questions asked. At the NIH level, they're very attuned to this, and they'll ask multiple questions. Agency ethic protocols also should be enhanced for GIS and visualization use. So if you're not with a university or a hospital, and you're doing community mapping, you have to make sure that you have these protocols in place. And then statistical modeling techniques have to be further explored to eliminate the compromise of the research and the integrity. We can also, when you're doing global research, we really have to keep in the consideration of the communities being researched and zoom in, and to what level do they have ethical boards. And this is definitely an area where, as researchers with ethical training, we can do capacity building in developing countries, whether it's at the Ministry of Health or hospital level. Cross-disciplinary discussions on ethical safeguards are a lot. I know from the School of Nursing, there's very few nurses that are doing GIS, so sometimes they don't get it, and they're sort of shaking their head. So it's really my personal responsibility to make sure everything. Thank goodness I have an epidemiologist and GIS expert. And then published research about GIS and the risk should really be mentioning what are their ethical safeguards. I did a review, an integrative review that should be published soon on GIS methodology, and very few of them, I think like three, mention ethical considerations and safeguarding. And then digitalization. As we've gone from audio to mapping, and we're going visual to mapping, and audio digitalization, where we can actually hear different sounds in communities, it will be up and coming, if not even when you're driving through communities and capturing sound. These are my references, and I think I put thank you. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
That's the speed version.